Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the show. And yes, I am actually live this time. So the platform I use says it's live streaming even when it's pre-recorded. So, So I just want to differentiate that. So this time is actually live. So welcome. Welcome, welcome. Let me know who's watching and where you're from. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, topics you'd like touched upon, any of that good stuff. So, you know, of course, as people kind of hop on and contemplate, I'm going to dive in. And, you know, I never know how these live shows are going to go. So, you know, sometimes a topic starts coming up and I start rolling with it. And that's kind of where we go. Sometimes it's really dictated by the people watching. So who knows, you know, put your comments out there, ask questions. Do you got anything that you want me to touch on? Anything you've been struggling with, curious about, looking for my take on it, any of that stuff. Yeah, let me know, you know, like I said, where you're watching from. That's always fun. It's always a fun little part for me. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to dive in and begin with the post that I shared today. I actually did a little mushroom journey. Like it's what I do kind of like a microdose occasionally, just a small amount. I'm very sensitive to anything. For the most part, including plant medicines. So sometimes I like just taking a microdose and dropping into this like a deep meditation. And I did that the other day. And it had been a while, so it wasn't completely – I didn't remember how much – of the mushroom to take. So I think I took a little bit more than normal. I'm sure I did. And it was really a powerful experience, you know. But plus, like I said, the way I use it specifically for spiritual purposes. So when I use it, you know, I'm not jumping around and dancing and, you know, like, I guess mushrooms, although I don't think I ever used it like this, but some people use it like as a party. Hey, Sarah, well, where are you now? You're the perfect person to ask. You're usually in different places. I don't use plant medicines, you know, for partying or anything. I use it for insights, you know, expanding my mind, seeing things in different ways, stuff like that. So I, you know, since that's my intention, I just basically, as I feel it kicking in, I just lay down and drop into a deep meditation, keep some papers with some notes nearby and take some notes as I go. So this time I got like 9 pages of notes. So I got a lot. And Sarah, yeah, she's all over. last week Arizona, this week Colorado. Wow, two beautiful places. From what I've heard, I haven't been to either one of them, and I would guess if those are probably two of the states that are on my top five list that I'd like to visit someday, probably. So I've heard wonderful things about both of those places. So yeah, you know, I'm in this meditation and I'm getting these insights. And of course, you know, most of them are about my personal journey. And as I was going in, one of the things that was becoming clear was kind of, it was an identity thing. It was, you know, it's hard to let go of your identity in a world that's filled with identities. Like, how do you just let go of your identity? You know, I don't know that we necessarily need to all the way, but it's just what I kind of saw was, we can make friends with our ego. We cannot fully identify with our identity, right? So that's helpful. And I try to do that to some degree. But over the years, you know, it's just like we get caught up in life. And like, you know, I say this with humility, that I really try to live a spiritual life. You know, it's the foundation for everything that I do, but I don't do it perfectly. And, you know, what I noticed was there was aspects of a different identity that has crept in over the last 20 years as I've expanded, as I've become literally a different person since I woke up. I don't know that I'm overly attached to my identity. I'm sure I am in certain ways. But what I was seeing, it wasn't so much how attached I was. What I was seeing was the identity that I've attached to, you know, at least to some degree. I mean, you know, when I had very different lives, so I think it's kind of easy for me to see the different identities that I've had. You know, when I was very young, a child, I had one particular identity. Then I kind of broke hard left at like 14 and started becoming, I don't know, crazy, in trouble, troublemaker, partier, you name it. And I lived like that for 20 years, rebel included in there. And then I woke up spiritually. Now all of a sudden I got to figure out who that is, you know. And over the years, it's you get used to seeing things a certain way. You know, I teach a lot of the same things over and over and fine tune the way that I say them and write a book. And, you know, you do all this stuff and it reinforces this identity that's who you are. Right. So I was just kind of noticing the identity that I had become, you know, that I had become a teacher and what was I think I jotted down some things about that identity. But just, you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking for it. Like I said, I got 9 pages of notes, so I'm not going to like comb through them on a podcast. It's just what I was saying is like I've become a teacher. I've become, you know, I really like depth in spiritual teachings. So part of that identity is a spiritual teacher that teaches depth, that like the deeper stuff, not so much of the surface stuff. I also like a down to earth approach that's practical. Okay, well, that's part of my identity, you know. So it's all these things, and I was seeing that, and then I was kind of, you know, I could clearly see that that's not who or what I am. So the next stage is, okay, well, who and what am I? And what I saw was just like potential energy. You know, this is what we are. We're all of us, we're just potential energy. You know we're energy. Energy has a frequency and a vibration to it. And, you know, we have the ability to be whatever we want to be. We're just energy. And I think potential energy is such a wonderful way to look at it. I forgot what movie it was, but I remember watching a movie or a couple movies or books. I don't even remember where I learned this. I learned it years ago, but there was some quantum physics aspects of it, which have helped me over the years understand things. And one of them was that they took these two particles, I was kind of combining two things. They take a particle that is potential, and it can be, you know, for just to put language to it so we can follow along with what this was teaching. It could be a dot or it could be a wave. And what they did is they told scientists that they were going to go in, look in the microscope, and they're going to see a dot. So they go in the microscope, and now it's neither. It's just potential. It could be either. And as soon as the scientist would walk in thinking that he was going to go see a dot, then what he did is, like, as soon as they look into the microscope, the potential energy turns into a dot. And then they did the opposite, where they tell people that they're going to go look at the wave. Now, again, it's neither. It has the potential to be either one. So then the scientists, thinking that they're going to go see a wave, they go look in the microscope. And as soon as they look, the potential energy turns to a wave. And they're like, oh, my God, our consciousness, it really actually affects our reality, right? So it's affecting energy. Now, kind of, it's kind of weird thinking that we're just energy, because we're so identified with this physical form, you know, oh, I'm my body and all this stuff. We're not. So excuse me, I just got to mute my phone so that doesn't keep going off. we don't. If we're just energy, you know, we have to let go of this idea that we are our jobs and our names and our bodies and all this stuff, and just understand that we are energy. And this is why I like talking about energy, because it simplifies things, in my opinion. If you can just loosen up and just be the energy, think of ourselves as energy, then it's just pure potential. So we can either, if we're going to lean into love, then we're going to be vibrating at the rate of love. You know, everything that we go through life, if you think about getting up in the morning and just getting your mental outlook to be loving and upbeat and joyful, right? Like I had a friend of mine who told me he developed this new thing, real animal person. He had a bunch of dogs, and he's a huge dude, my friend Brian. And he told me that, you know, some of the dogs would sleep in the bedroom. So he would, like, in the morning, he would pick up one of the dogs, and it's like, it's funny. You picture this giant man with this palm the size of a bear, just like picking up this little dog. And he's like, yeah, I'll pick up the little furry one and just put him on my face. And I'll just, like, I can't be in a bad mood when I do that. Like, I'll wait until I'm in so filled with joy, then I'll get up out of bed. But I don't get up out of bed until I'm in a good mood, you know? So, like, you know, I'm kind of trying to break down what I'm talking about going through our day in a very practical way. If we get up and set our mood, set our energy for how we're going to look at the day and get ourselves in the right energy, you can feel it in you. If you are happy and in feeling connected to love vibration, you can feel that, right? And if you're all wrapped up in your head and worried about your day and all this crap, like that's fear energy. You know, there's two main energies. It's love and fear. Everything positive is a version off of love. Everything negative is a version off of fear. So like, you know, and it's varying degrees. I mean, sitting there going, oh my God, like, I can't believe I ran out of toothpaste today. I'm sure that's not the same as like losing a loved one, right? It's all I'm saying is there's a scale of vibrations and there's a halfway point. Underneath that halfway point is varying and intensifying degrees of negativity. Above that halfway point is varying intensified degrees of love, happiness, right? So we just got to try to do our best to stay above that line, stay into the positive, because then we're vibrating at a positive rate. If we're vibrating at the rate of love, we're going to experience more love. Like, you know, everybody can look at the same thing and see different things. I think this is pretty clear in society right now, right? There's varying perspectives out there. So what determines what we're going to see? You know, there's a lot of things that go into it, our past, but my point is we have control over that. So if we're in a good mood, you know, have you ever been in a bad mood and somebody in a really good mood comes up to you and says, hey, great day, isn't it? And you just want to choke them, right? That's because it doesn't match your vibration. It's like nails on a chalkboard. So it's like if we're in a bad mood, we're going to be experiencing things in a negative way. We're going to see the worst. We're going to, you know, that it affects us greatly. If we're in a loving, positive mood, we're going to see things in a better way. It's just, like, this isn't theory, you know. There's people I don't want to get the school wrong. I think it's Harvard that some of these bigger colleges, they'll put things in first, you know, to be at the forefront. Like they have classes literally on happiness. I think it's Harvard, and other schools as well. But they've studied all this stuff. They have proven that the mood you're in affects the way you see things. You know, this isn't theory. So if we look at our life and we are responsible for one thing, and that's our energy, that's our experience. So if we try to control that, instead we're spending all our energy trying to control everything outside of us, you know, and we can participate in the things outside of us. I mean, we have to participate in the unfoldment of our own life. That's what brings us joy. Like that, you know, so I'm not saying we sit home and don't do anything. What I'm saying is as we're participating in our own life, if we're monitoring our energy to the best of our ability and trying to come from a place of love as much as possible, then that's, you know, it's going to affect our lives in a positive way. There's the law of attraction. If we're walking around feeling grateful, we're going to attract more things to be grateful for. Like, have you ever known somebody that was sitting around, you know, broke and couldn't find a job and they're just going, oh my God, you know, I'm just, life sucks and there's just no possibilities out there and there's no money and I'm screwed. And then all of a sudden, just their life, just everything changes and everything's wonderful all of a sudden. No, that's not how it happens. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a little bit negative and still have some good things come into your life if you're taking some action. Sure. But I'm talking about collectively. Okay, like you, and I'm talking like this to try to make the point. Collectively, you know, like, does every once in a while, like, you can't always draw a line from cause to effect. Okay, it's so we have to just go by generalities. As a general rule, people that are pessimistic and wrapped up in a lack mentality and that everything sucks, how often do they live happy lives? Very, very rarely, if at all, you know? Now, other people that seem to, if things don't go their way, they just make the best of it and try to be upbeat, kind to others, even if they're not having a good day. How often do those people have a good life? Pretty freaking regularly, right? So that's all I'm saying. This is just to keep it in that practical way that I like to teach things. So it just, you know, don't blow what I'm saying out of proportion. It's not that difficult to do. We just have to do our best. And if we look at the instances in our lives, the moments in our lives, the situations in our lives that are as opportunities, then we can take advantage of those opportunities. If we don't even recognize them as opportunities, how are we going to take advantage of them as opportunities, right? So all of the little things, when something doesn't go the way you want it to, that's an opportunity to be okay, even though things don't go the way you want them to. And then you know what happens if you practice that? You'll be more okay more often when things don't go the way you want them to. Because you're practicing it. You're taking that as an opportunity and you're practicing it. So you get better at it. But the opposite is true. If you get more frustrated, the more things don't go your way. And I know we rationalize it. We go, oh, well, you know, I mean, I do it too. You know, computers to me is completely taken. It's a 180. It's gone in the opposite direction. Like when computers came out, I loved computers because they came to me easy. Like I understood the logical thinking and all that stuff. And they used to actually try to make things easier for a human being. So since that was the goal, they actually accomplished that goal. At some point, they abandoned that goal. And now they just want to do more. Doesn't matter if it's they should be doing more. Doesn't matter the personal experience with the user. As a matter of fact, I think that they like it being harder and harder for regular people to use computers because then they have to get help and then they can charge for help, right? It creates business. So I can get very frustrated with computers, but the frustration that comes never enhances my life. Like it doesn't matter how right I am. I can sit down and be like, okay, well, look, you know, 15 years ago, you could press a button and this would happen. Now you have to press 6 buttons to make the same thing happen. It's more complicated, it's harder, and it's a bigger pain in the ass. And I can prove that I'm 100% right. How does that enhance my life? I'm right. I think that that's where we go wrong, being right. Nothing feeds the ego more than being right. So we're, you know, I'm right. Yeah, congratulations. Show him what he's won, Bob. Oh, a whole pile of pissed off energy. Congratulations, Glenn. You just got a gigantic pile of pissed off energy that you get to walk around in for days. And every time somebody brings up the topic that pissed you off, you get a whole new batch of it, nice and fresh for you to wallow around in. That's what being right gets us. It doesn't matter if we're right. It just is. If computers are difficult, then we have to, if we have to do more six steps instead of one, then we have to do 6 steps instead of one. But if I can use that as practice on what? Me. I'm my own project. I'm my own laboratory experiment. I'm the one that's in control of my energy. I'm not in control how computers are made or software is written. I'm not going to change it, no matter how much I complain. So if I see it as an opportunity for me to just be like, okay, whatever I'm going to do on the computer, it's going to consist of me trying to figure out ways of getting done what I want to get done on the computer. So, so that's my kind of like everyday life experience stuff, you know. And now zoom it back out to the big picture that I was talking about with just energy. And just think about if we experiment with this. Like if we're just energy and we have freedom of choice over how we think and act and what energy we walk around in, and we do the best of our ability to just be loving, then what are we putting out into the world? What are we going to be getting back? What energy are we going to be walking around in? You know, I said this before, like one time I was explaining something to somebody, just matter-of-factly, and they were like, wow, you have the right to be pissed off. And I was like, can I forgo that right? Like, I don't want the right to be pissed off because it doesn't get me anything except pissed off. So instead of doing that, like if I'm just kind of just trying to be love in every single situation to the best of my ability, I'm going to be walking around in loving energy almost all freaking day and more as my days go on. So in 5 years, I should be walking around in more love energy than I was this year. I like that. And that's the only thing I have control of. I don't have control over all the things that I complain about, but I do have control over me. You know, so we're just potential energy, and we become the energy. We become whatever we put our focus on, whatever we do, whatever. That's where we have the control. That's where we have the free will. That's where we have the freedom of choice. We can be whatever we want to be. So if we're walking around being loving all the time, and not a, we don't have to be a doormat to be loving, you know, like love is strong. That's another thing that we need to get out there. Love is strong. So it's not about being a doormat. If somebody, you know, if somebody attacks you verbally and you attack back, then you have more anger energy inside of you. Right. And you're not going to change their mind, especially by arguing. Right. So like, there you go. But if you're trying to respond in love or you just walk away, you go, I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to choose love. Okay. Then walk away. Choose love. Which one is going to make you feel better? Like that's not really all that matters. Who cares? Who cares? Is it going to change the world? Yeah, I think it probably is over time. You know, collectively, more and more people do this. And if more and more people don't, then it won't. I don't really care. My world is changing. I'm walking around happier. That's really all that matters. I don't have to worry about if my neighbors are walking around doing it. If they're not, I don't care. I still got the benefits of walking around in this energy all day. So, I got my friends from Philadelphia, Anthony and Aubrey. And Sarah, I've been immersing myself in the power of constructive thinking. It's in line with what you're saying, especially around forgiveness. Have you read it? I don't think I've read it. No. Not sure, but I don't think so. But yeah, forgiveness is huge. You know, forgiveness isn't, I guess, you know, that really is a good point, Sarah. Most of the reason that people don't forgive is because they're under the delusion that forgiveness is about the other person. which it's not. It's not about the other person. It's about us. You know, it's because why? Because we're walking around in the energy. We're walking around in that negative energy. We're walking around carrying the resentment towards somebody. You know, I learned this 20 years ago in recovery. Resentment is the number one offender. So if I'm walking around pissed off at people, carrying that inside me, the number one reason that drug addicts and alcoholics relapse is resentment. And all of you who are not drug addicts and alcoholics, here's a little tip for you. You function the same way. You just don't happen to have a drug or alcohol problem, but your life walking around carrying resentments. When an alcoholic or an addict like goes off on a spree, it's very easy to see when they pick up their drug. Most people are just suffering quietly. You know, they just get more and more miserable every day, or their body stops producing serotonin, so they start taking mood enhancers, you know, legal drugs, or they drink regularly, but they don't have a problem. You know, and I'm not saying that everybody that drinks regularly has a problem. That's not my point. All I'm saying is that if you do not deal with your resentments, it is going to negatively impact your life, period. Why? Because it's negative energy. So if you're walking around with negative energy inside of you, it's going to negatively impact your life. You can't become happier the more resentments you gather. That's not how it works, you know, which is funny. Like, this is what cracks me up, like talking about this stuff. You know, when you say it out loud, it's so ridiculous how we live. It's freaking ridiculous. We have been rationalizing our behaviors for so freaking long now that we just live up here, and we constantly do stupid things that hurt ourselves and rationalize why it's okay or why it's socially acceptable, or you'd do it too if you were me, or whatever the hell we tell ourselves. But it's freaking comical when you slow down and look at it, because people will, they'll fight for their right to keep their resentments. You'd be like, you know, somebody talks about a resentment that they're not ready to let go of, and you're like, now don't get me wrong, you got to be ready. But some people are never ready because they're not trying to become ready, right? They just want to hold on to their resentment because it feeds their ego. It creates separation. Anything that creates separation feeds your ego. So what people want to do is they want to hang on to their resentments. It's like, okay, well, how's that benefiting you? Well, screw them. That's why. Well, that's not, it's not benefiting you. Yeah, but they were wrong. Yeah. And like, how is walking around with anger towards another person helping you? How does that benefit you? I think maybe on a subconscious level, people think that maybe they won't allow other people to hurt them that way, which if you do it from an anger energy, there's no clarity in anger. So if somebody hurt you and then you're like, screw that, I'm not going to let anybody hurt me like that, all you do is build up a wall against everybody because you don't know who can hurt you and who can't hurt you. So you've got to build a wall against everybody. Right. So that's what's called building your own prison. So you just put wall up after wall up after wall up so nobody can hurt you. And then you're in your little prison all alone and everything's wonderful. Congratulations. It's no way to live. You know, or we can get rid of these resentments through forgiveness and possibly other things. And then we're not walking around carrying that energy within us anymore. So it's about freeing yourself. It's not about the other person. And then some people think that they have to get, you know, like if somebody passed, they can't do it. Yes, you still can. If somebody doesn't want to talk to you, you can't do it. Yes, you still can. Everything that we need to do is within us. it's within our capability. Everything we need to do to control the energy in which we walk around and the thought process in which we interact with society, that's all within our capability. So we don't need anything from anybody else. We don't need them to admit they did something wrong. We don't need anything. I mean, you know, of course, sometimes it's nice if a situation allows that, some type of closure or something with somebody. It might even heal the relationship. That could be wonderful as well. But it's not necessary. We don't need somebody else to clear our energy field. I mean, I bet you 90% of the people I had resentments towards had no idea I had resentments towards, and still don't, because once, well, you know, I went through the whole 12-step recovery process, and if I needed to do something to try to clear my side of the street, then I did. But like most of the people that I had resentments towards, once I understood that how caring those around were detrimental to me, and how my resentments were usually caused by my false expectations of what somebody else should or shouldn't be doing, well, then a lot of them just went away, you know, by shifting my perspective. Some of them I had to deal with. But most of the resentments that we walk around in, we just need to shift our perspective on them. So we're not the victim of that. Okay, Sarah, I feel like wanting to forgive is actually more difficult than the actual forgiveness, in my experience anyway. Yeah, I mean, it can be, but I think that can be chipped away at by understanding what forgiveness is, right? Like, if you don't want to forgive, then there's a reason that you don't want to forgive. Like, you think not forgiving is getting you something, right? That there has to be a payoff. A lot of times it's on an unconscious level. So there's got to be like, you know, something saying, thinking that this forgive, if you gave this forgiveness, you would be less than somehow instead of more. Right. And that's, once you get clarity on that, I mean, I know what you mean though, Sarah. It's not, you know, I don't want to oversimplify this. I mean, I do know what you mean. And it really depends on the size of the issue, you know. Like, you know, our issues are always the worst because they're ours, you know, but no, seriously, I mean, usually it has to be a pretty big resentment for us to really want to hold on to it, to where it's difficult to want to forgive. You know, I think, it's one of the reasons why I love the movie, The Shack. I've talked about it so many times and I'll continue to, because, I think it's a great book too, but I just love the damn movie even more than the book, which is really weird. I think, you know, I think most people, it's a general consensus that the book is always better than the movie. But I actually, who knows? I'm not much of a reader. But still, I mean, most other books I have read, I like the book better than the movie. But The Shack, I just absolutely love the movie. And another thing I love about it is like, I'll use it as like a healing tool. I'll use it like a purging tool. Like, if I'm carrying a resentment, or like, I'll think about what that movie does well. Like, I love how that movie shows a personal connection with God, the concept of God. And, you know, I love that. So like, sometimes if I'm just sitting there and like, let's say I'm having a hard time feeling connected, I'll put in that movie and I'll just be like, I'll get the warm fuzzies, just like feeling like I'll almost project myself into the main character's role where like I'm there with God, like just, and I'm like, oh yes, I love this. Like I can kind of do that, you know? But you know, one of the big things about that is it's the I love the book. Sarah said, I love the book, but it was too chicken to watch the movie. We'll bring a couple boxes of tissues, you know, because those of you who aren't familiar with it, the topic is extreme, man. I mean, extreme, extreme. Like in the beginning, they set up the story that triggers the rest, and it's heart-wrenching, you know, it's very, very difficult. But to me, like, I don't necessarily like that per se. However, my goal is to really get the message that's being taught, right? So this is, I do it all the time myself. I pick extreme examples, because if you can see how it would work in an extreme example with somebody else, then usually it makes what we're going through pale in comparison, right? So when I look at that and I'm like, oh my God, like if I was that dude, if I was the main character, I don't know if I could forgive. That's just like, it's just such an extreme, like, oh my God, like if you could forgive that, you could forgive anything. Like, wow, it's mind boggling, you know, but it's not me. So there's a little bit of space in between me and that and the character. Knowing it's not true might help a little bit. although I'm sure it was true. It's been true for some people in history, right? It's people have definitely been through that. So yeah, but I couldn't imagine going through that myself, but it's just like, when you look at it, forgiveness on that difficult a scenario, I think it makes the possibility of us forgiving that much more realistic, that much more possible, you know, hopefully. That's what it does for me. That's, you know, that's why I like to use the extreme, because then everything underneath it is just, yeah. Because if, I mean, let's be honest, our ego is going to try to keep us stuck. So if I say, hey, you know what? Somebody stole a piece of gum from me yesterday. And, you know, I was just so wonderful that I forgave them instantly. Like, I'm just, because that's how I live my life. That's what I do. I don't think many of you would be really impressed. Right? Because the first thing your ego is going to do is go, yeah, Glenn, it was a piece of freaking gum. Big deal. I have real stuff in my life, right? So when if you just use minuscule, like examples, your ego is just kind of batted away. Well, yeah, it's easy with little things. You can't do it with real things, right? So that's why using the bigger things is more effective, because it's the opposite. It's like, oh, okay, well, if you can do it there, then maybe I can do it in this. So yeah. But we have to be the stewards of our own energy. You know, this is the point. I've said this recently, and I've said it many times before. I don't know if I've said it on a podcast, though. You know, a lot of times I think the crux of the spiritual journey lies in letting go of the false sense of control we have over everything that we can't control in our lives. Most people are trying to control things that they cannot control, like outside circumstances, other people. We're constantly trying to control other people, how they interact with us, what they do, what they're doing, what they're saying. And we can't, of course, so it's very frustrating. And we're constantly trying to control our external circumstances, like our job and our how much money we're making and you know, like I said, it's not about not taking action on any of these things. It's just getting a different foundational perspective on this stuff. So I think if we stop trying to control everything that we don't have control over, that's where our frustrations come from. You know, I think 90% of people's frustrations come from the fact that they're trying to control things that they can't control. People, places, and things. You can't control them. But they don't try to control the one thing that they do have control over, and that's themselves. We have control over our energy. We have control over how we think. We have control over how we feel. We have control over how we interact with others in society. We have control over all that. And nobody takes responsibility for their lives. I'm sorry. Most people do not. Most people don't focus on what they can control and adjust it. That's why everybody's complaining. That's why everybody's on drugs and alcohol and addicted to freaking something. Sex, relationships, their telephone, the freaking mailman, whoever. Like, everybody's addicted to freaking something. It's distraction because we can't handle the pain bubbling up inside of us. So we have to distract ourselves with things. And it's all because we're frustrated and overwhelmed with life. And why are we frustrated and overwhelmed with life? Because we keep trying to control everything that's outside of our control. What pisses you off is outside of your control. That's why it's pissing you off. If it was in your control, you'd just change it, right? So everybody walking around bitching about the weather and the traffic and their neighbor and the neighbor's dog and their boss and their coworker and their friend and then their lifetime friend that I can't believe they acted this way, and their family member and their spouse and their children and their freaking cat and whatever else they're complaining about. You have no control over any of that stuff. So stop trying to control it, because it's frustrating. It's frustrating trying to control stuff that you have no control over. So stop it. But what do you have control over? You. The way you think. The way you respond, your emotions. Yes, you do. And a lot of people don't see, this is the problem, is most people don't even know that this is the truth. Like, oh, well, Glenn, you must not understand, because I'm not 55 and lived a freaking life before up until now. I just woke up spiritually and crawled out from under a rock and haven't experienced anything. Trust me. I have my share of experiences. And do I do it perfectly? Hell no. But I do it to the best of my ability. And when I don't do it well, I don't make excuses that it's somebody else's fault. That's the best thing that we can do. Start taking responsibility. So if somebody triggers you and you react in a certain way, that's fine. I'm a spiritual realist. We're all going to do this. We're all going to be doing this stuff for years, day by day. And we're going to fall short sometimes, and we're going to do well sometimes, and all that stuff. You know, I'm not looking for perfection. All I'm looking for is honesty. Get honest with yourself. Get honest with what you can control and what you can't control. Start letting go of what you can't, because it's frustrating. And then start practicing to gain control over what you do have control over. So when something doesn't go your way, then you can be like, okay, this is one of those things that didn't go my way. It's okay. I just need to figure out a way to get there. Like, to accomplish what I want to accomplish. Like, I see this clearer now than I did before, because like when I started my business and when I woke up spiritually and everything was new, right? So like, I'm learning computers. I'm learning how to build a business. I'm learning how to be a father. I'm figuring out ways of doing everything. It was all new. I had to figure out everything. And I was up for the challenge. I was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's create a new life. And I did. And it was exciting. And then I kind of, you know, when my son got older and I moved over to DR and just kind of disconnected for a while and rested after a very experience-filled freaking life, rested for a few years, and I started going back to trying to accomplish things, I found it frustrating because, like, you know, like a lot of things with computers are harder now, which is mind-boggling. But even here in the DR, it's tough to get things accomplished. So it's like doing things, I noticed myself getting frustrated. And I'm like, wait, you know, like there's something wrong with me. See, I think that's a piece. When you're upset, we have to start understanding that there's something wrong with us when we're upset. We think that we have to, like, oh, if you're not upset, then you don't care about what's going on in the world. No, that's not true. It's just walking around angry over something that I can't control serves no purpose. It just adds one more pissed off human being walking around the earth. Commenting on Facebook how much you hate a war on the other side of the world doesn't make you a good person. And it sure as hell doesn't fix the war. So I don't do things that are just going to make me feel like a good person. If I can't actually take time or money or my energy in some sort of way to benefit a situation, then it's off my plate. I don't spend time worrying about it or stressing out about it or feeling angry over it, because all that does is it affects me. I just become a more stressed out, angry individual, and it doesn't affect the problem in any way, shape, or form. Except possibly making it worse, because now it has my energy attached to it too. So we have to start gaining control over what we have control over, which is our energy field. How we think about it. It has to make sense. We have to start asking ourselves questions. You know, instead of just accepting some freaking meme on social media that tells you that you're supposed to be pissed off about something, instead, can you just stop and ask yourselves, how does that benefit me or the problem before you do it? One of the most collective things that we do, and I'll wrap up with this, One of the most common things we do as a society on social media and in person that's socially acceptable is what we call support one another, right? Which is a load of crap. It's not support. All it is it's reinforcing the victim mentality 90% of the time. There is such a thing as supporting people. It's just that most people don't know what that is or how to do it. So what they do is they go with the socially acceptable concept, which is actually reinforcing the victim mentality. So when somebody comes home, when, you know, you go out with one of your friends and they're like, oh, my boyfriend's such a jerk and my husband's such a pain in the ass and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. Or my girlfriend or my wife does this and she's such an idiot and she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that. Like, they're complaining. And we go, oh, that must be so difficult. Oh, you poor thing. Oh, you don't deserve that. Oh, you deserve better. We call that support. And all we're doing is think about the dynamic of that, right? They're basically saying, let's whittle down. And this is actually true. Whittle down what they're saying. They're basically saying that the person that they're complaining about or the situation that they're complaining about isn't their fault. Right? It's not their fault and it's not fair to them. So therefore they are a victim of whatever the hell they're complaining about. And we go, oh yeah, you're so right. You are a victim. You poor thing. That's not fair. You deserve better. Right? So it's basically saying, like, you are a victim of the other person, which is completely disempowering. We're not helping them in every way, shape, or form. This is why I can only have certain types of friends that I interact with on a regular basis. Because if a friend comes to me for help, I do not feed their victim mentality and pretend that I'm supporting them. Because that's a bad friend. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody comes and says, hey, I got to get something off my chest. I need you to listen. Oh, okay. You need me to hold safe space. Like, I can do all that. And I do it when I'm asked to. And I'll even keep my mouth shut with a little bit of complaining, but I can't take it for very long, man, because it's disempowering. It's going, yes, you are a victim of the world. Jeez, seems like God freaking hates you and just wants to watch you suffer like an ant under a magnifying glass. Oh, you poor thing. I'm here for you, though. No, I'm not going to tell people that. So if we're upset, angry, there is a shift that's possible. There is another way to look at it. And I'm not saying it's easy to begin with. You have to work on it. But we have to start choosing to the energy that we walk around in, because that's what determines what and who we are and our experiences. If I'm walking around in love and happiness and joy most of the time, then I'm a loving, joyful, happy person most of the time. If I'm walking around in anger and frustration, I'm an angry, frustrated person. It's that simple, man. So let's take control over what we're talking about, ourselves, and how we think, how we perceive things. I have a resentment. Well, do whatever the hell it takes to let go of it. You know, I mean, I know Sarah brought up forgiveness, you know, and I'm not talking about her or her situation, because I don't even know what it is, which is a really wonderful way to make sure I'm not talking about it. But I understand, I've had huge forgiveness things, you know, huge things that I needed to forgive, that it was difficult. Most people have. So with these big things, I'm not saying you have to forgive, but if you're walking around 5 years later and you haven't forgiven, then you're not trying. I mean, just be honest with yourself. You don't want to forgive. And I mean, even that, like, like if we're honest with ourselves, most likely we're not going to go 5 years, right? Because what being honest with ourselves does is it brings the truth up to the forefront. So like if we go, no, I can't forgive. It's really hard. I don't know. I mean, I want to, but I don't really want to, but I think I do. But all this, you know, whatever your outlook on it is, if you just kind of don't look into it and you just kind of let it float, that's one way. Or if you look at it and go, no, this is really difficult, and you reinforce the fact why you can't, either one of those two options, either not looking at it or reinforcing why it's so difficult to forgive, either one of those two will keep you stuck. And that's not taking responsibility for your action, for your energy. You know, I'm not saying that we have to forgive people tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. I don't, you know, different forgivenesses are going to take different lengths of time. But if you're walking around with something for 5-10 years, you're not being responsible with your energy, because you're not putting any effort into actually trying to do it. You know, so put effort to try to do it and forgive anything. Just had a flashback to the shack again, you know, I mean, but most things are less extreme than that. I would say 90% of the things on this planet we could forgive in maximum a year, maximum. So let's just take responsibility for our lives, our thinking, the way we look at things, and understand that like the way we look at things determines our happiness. It doesn't determine the world. Like sometimes we think like, oh, well, I choose to look at the new paradigm being birthed, right? And all the good things happening on the planet. And then, so some people would say, well, no, that, so now you are dismissing reality. No, I'm not. I'm completely aware of all kinds of, not everything, of course, but all is too much, but all kinds of negative things that are going on. I'm aware of those. I can be aware that stuff is happening without pouring my energy into it and getting sucked into it. I'm aware of what's going on in the world, all the negative things, most of the negative things, a lot of the negative things I'm aware of. And I still choose to not put my attention or my energy on it and to live a happy existence. Like, what are we going to do? What are we thinking? Like, what's so freaking important about getting sucked into the negativity? Do you think that you're going to lay on your deathbed? Good question to ask yourself. Laying on your deathbed, okay, it puts things in perspective because it creates distance. So do you think that you're going to lay in your deathbed, right? And you're 95 years old, you're laying there, you're frail, you can't really do anything or move, you're just about to take your last breath, and you're going over your life. Do you think that anybody is sitting there going, you know, I wish I was more angry about the dysfunctional things that were happening on the planet during my life? You know, I just didn't let them bring me down like I should have. You know, I was kind of happy-go-lucky and kind of enjoyed my life and had lots of friends because people liked being around me and got along well with others and my family and lived a pretty good life. But you know, I was delusional. I should have been miserable and complained about the life issues that were going on the other side of the world more. I guess I screwed up. Maybe next time I'll reincarnate and come back, and maybe then I can really just dive into the horrible, disgusting things that human beings that are out of balance do. I'm going to, you know, not worry about them and complain more. Do you think anybody's doing that? No, your life is your responsibility. Act like it. You know, by taking care of your energy, you are potential energy. So just feed love, be as much love as you can. And that, again, that doesn't mean to allow people to walk on you. Love says, no, I love myself. Not going to allow you to treat me like that. Have a great freaking day and walk in the other direction. That's love. So let's just be the stewards of our own energy field, our own thoughts, our own emotions, you know? And all right, I'm just going to touch on the emotions, I think, because the thoughts I've talked about a lot, especially before, but everybody talks about thoughts. Energy, I talked about a lot in this podcast, so I'm just going to touch on emotions for a moment. We let our emotions run us way too much. And anybody that like doesn't walk around miserable, people say you're spiritual bypassing or something. No, like there's a time and a place for everything. Emotions are not there to make decisions. They're not there to think with. That's what your brain is for. So when you're all jacked up in emotions, do not try figuring things out. That's not when you're capable of thinking. I mean, they even proved that scientifically. Nobody thinks well when they're upset. Okay, the blood starts draining out of their brain, like literally. So our emotions, like I think people need to go in and feel their emotions more. Okay, this is what I do. I'm very emotional. So I have to go in and I have to feel my emotions sometimes, because if I don't, they will bubble up and come out in inappropriate situations. I was going through a real rough time many years ago, and I was like, I had to excuse myself and go to the bathroom like every 20 or 30 minutes because I was starting to cry. I had so much built up emotion, like I couldn't even function at work. So what I did is I went home and I would dive into my emotions and allow myself to feel the emotions without telling myself the story that those feelings are attached to. That's the mistake people make. Don't tell yourself the story. You can use the story to bring them up. Oh, I got fired from my job, or my girlfriend left, or I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, or my ex is a jerk, whatever. Bring it up. As soon as you stop feeling a physical sensation, let it go and just focus on the physical sensation, and you can allow that emotion to go. But there's also times when, you know, where I just did it like, I don't know, a week or two ago. You know, my son was over here for a year, and he was heading back to the States, and we're going to go do something towards the end of his stay here. And I got up and I just was in this crap mood. All this just difficult energy was flowing through me. And I was like, I sat down and I'm like, this doesn't work for me. Like, I have plans with my son, and he's not going to be here much longer. And I'm not letting some emotions that I don't even know what they are or where they're coming from or what's going on. I'm not letting them wreck my day. I'm just not. It's unacceptable. I am in control of my life, and I am not allowing my emotions to wreck my day. So I was like, you need to go. Like, hey, we stuff our emotions. We've stuffed them for 100,000 years. We can't stuff them for another couple of days. We need to be in control. Oh, I'm in a bad mood. Everybody walk on eggshells around me. Like, or I'm going to wreck everybody else's time because I'm not feeling good. Like, no, take control of your emotions, stuff them down. And you're not going to hear too many spiritual teachers telling you this, probably. Stuff your emotions, stuff them down, and tell them that you'll be back for them later that night. And then go back for them and allow them to come up then and feel them. But we need to be in control of our own experiences instead of just letting, you know, most of us on this path are very sensitive. We're very emotional. And I mean, when they hit, they can hit hard, man. You know, so like we need to be in control of them. They are not to be in control of us. So I'll wrap up with this perspective. We are not our thoughts. We are not our emotions. You know, Tolle taught us that and many others before him. So, you know, we're not our thoughts. We're not our emotions. We are not our identity. We're not our ego. We're not those things. Those things are tools. Our emotions are there to capture our attention, to let us know that to pay attention to something because it's more extreme or more important than most things. Because we're exposed to millions of bits of information on a daily basis, right? So, and we have all these thoughts running through. So how do we know when something is important? It's through our emotions get triggered. Oh, this really makes me happy, or oh, this really makes me sad or angry or whatever. It's to capture our attention and say, hey, this isn't the normal run of the day stuff. Pay attention to this. Okay. It's not to sit there and wallow in it. If we can actually feel it right then, most situations, it's like 20 seconds worth of energy, I think. I forgot what I read. I think different ones say like 20 to 60 seconds worth of energy or something. So we can actually just open up and allow ourselves to feel that. If a particular situation triggers our emotions, we can allow ourselves to feel it for a brief period. And then we won't stuff. You know, some things have bigger packages of emotion attached. Sometimes it's triggering buried emotion from the past, you know. So, but my point is we are not our thoughts. We are not our emotions. We are not our ego. Those are all tools. So we're supposed to be able to turn on our brain, say, hey, what's 2 + 2? Hey, that's 4, Glenn. Thank you, brain. Shut up now. And it's supposed to go off. It's not supposed to run incessantly all day. Our emotions are supposed to get triggered when something there's to capture our attention. And we're supposed to go, oh, thank you, emotions, for capturing this attention. Yes, you're right. I don't like that. And I need to make a mental note to watch out for this, learn from my past, so that in case this starts coming up again, I can prevent it from happening, possibly. You know, that's one example. Our ego, we can be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not a spiritual teacher, but I play one on YouTube. You know, it's just part. Don't get attached to your identity. I'm not attached, or I'm a little too attached, more attached than I want to be. So I'm working on this. But like, I'm not a male. I'm not a Glenn. I'm not a spiritual teacher. I don't live in the Dominican Republic. Those are just things I do. I'm not a father. I'm not a son. I'm not a friend. I'm not any of those things. That's not who I am. Those are just roles that I play within my life. And I'm supposed to be able to play them without getting sucked into thinking that's who I am. Because then I lose the mentality of what I really am, which is energy, potential energy. I'm potential energy, and I can put some of my energy into some of these roles as my day unfolds in appropriate ways. And I do, but that's not who I am. So my point is we can't identify, think our thoughts are us, think our emotions are us, think our ego is us, and then expect to be able to be in control of ourselves or have, those are three non-thinking identities. We are consciousness. We are the consciousness. We are the master of our own domain. We're supposed to be in control. We're supposed to tell the brain when to function, the emotions, you know, we can perceive what the emotion is saying and then make a judgment call on it and choose how to look at the situation. And we can look at our identity and understand that we do play different roles in our lives, but that's not who we are. And come back to the potential energy with just potential energy. And if you're walking around putting out love and happiness and goodness, that's how you're going to feel inside. And if you're putting out the opposite, that's how you're going to feel inside. So it's just, you know, you can not believe anything that I've said. This is why I love the spiritual, the way that I look at things. The reason that I look at them that way is because they serve me, they empower me, and they make complete logical sense to me. I'm not saying that they do to everybody. I'm just saying that they do to me. So what I like is you can take this whole podcast, crumple it up and throw it in a trash barrel and just go, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if I'm energy. I don't know who I am. I don't know what the hell he was talking about half the time. But what I do know is that when he said, if I walk around putting out a certain type of energy, like happiness, joy, love, kindness, if I walk around putting those things out on a regular basis and feeling them within my body, I will probably have a more pleasant life experience than if I walk around doing the opposite and walk around in the negativity. So I'm just going to do that, because walking around miserable is not enjoyable, and walking around in happiness is enjoyable. So I don't give a crap about anything else. I'm just going to do it. So when I put my head on the pillow for that last time and take my last breath and look back and I go, yeah, I was happy most of the time. Cool. Good. Your work here was done. Nicely done. Congratulations. So that's going to do it. Hey, Sue. I think, Sue, are you in England, I think? And Lisa, I saw Lisa pop on from Rhode Island too. Cool. All right. Thank you, everybody. Got to wrap this up and fly. Oh, there's my mouse wasn't working. See, I told you the computer's out to get me, but I'm not a victim of it. Susan is in Australia. Okay, cool. Thanks. You're welcome, Sarah. I'm glad you liked it, Sue. All right. Everybody take care. I'm going to switch my brain off of spirituality and click it onto functioning. Okay, I got it. All right. Peace, everybody. Thanks for joining. Talk with you soon.